This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens for college football game time. Chris Goforth alongside John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. Glad to have you with us today. You can always catch the show at 929thegame.com and on the radio.com app. You can find us at 929thegame. Also, you can find this show on Twitter at 929CFBGameTime. John Chuckery at JMCH316. Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. You can find me at ChrisGoforth1. Glad to have you with us today for a G-Day special. Georgia spring game set to kick off at 2 o'clock. You can watch it on the SEC Network. Guys, let's dive into the Atlantic Coast Conference and kind of do a little swing through the ACC. Clemson has been the big dog, there's no doubt, in that conference for the last couple of years. Is anybody ready to challenge Clemson, John?
I got two letters for you, no.
I'm with you. Yeah. That's exactly what I put, no.
They
won their division.
I put hell no.
they were 5 wins better than the next closest team in the ACC this past year. No, they have the two best players in the conference coming back.
Yes.
At running back and quarterback.
Are we sure they don't have like maybe three or four of those receivers?
They do. Because, yeah. And don't forget that kid that's going to play defensive end, yes, as a freshman last year, Xavier. They're so loaded for bear. No, there's nobody ready to challenge them within the ACC conference. It's everybody's playing for, okay, who can get a chance playing the game against them.
I hate to go back to recruiting rankings, but I do think there is something that you can derive from that. Clemson's just recruiting at a completely different level.
But you know what?
Than the rest
funny,
of their brethren.
Go look at their rankings. They haven't been 1, 2, 3. They're no, really not.
They finished 10th.
They yeah. get.
But there were only two ACC teams that finished in the top 25.
They right. get need and they get right. impact players where they need them. They don't need to be top three in recruiting and nothing. Right.
And they also, when those kids get on campus, they get coached and they become
they get developed.
Thank you. They get developed well. Now, back to what Freaky was talking about, thinking they might lose a game that they shouldn't. Like they got to go to Syracuse this year. That could be one of those games. But they lost that last time in Syracuse. Kelly Bryant got hurt. But, I mean, they have games on there that are slip-up. And it's hard when you talk about losing a generational-type defensive line and still you're really not that worried about it. Because that's my only concern is the fact that the losses that they had are from. But he's, like you said, Xavier, he seemed like he's going to be a first-round draft pick one day.
And you realize they're grooming a generational quarterback, though.
Well, I mean, they got that dude. Number 16, he is – like I kind of agree with what the Freaky said. I mean, it's him, and it's like everybody else.
In that conference this year it is.
This dude, I mean, he's an amazing player, and we knew that he was going to be this good when he came in. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't the – well, we don't – I don't – no, we knew that Trevor Lawrence was going to do this. I mean, this kid is special. The moment is never too big for him, and when anything goes wrong, you can lean on him because you got that guy. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do here at Georgia, like – oh, everything's going wrong. We can't stop the run. We can't do it. But you know what? Number 11, we can lean on him. And when you got that guy, like a guy like Trevor Lawrence to lean on.
Then they're going to hand it to that running back, and he's going to go.
And they finally let him be the feature back and see what happens. Good things happen, don't they? Mm-hmm. Good things happen with that guy.
He might score 20 touchdowns this year.
Easily.
20 touchdowns
easily
in the backfield.
So who is the second best team in the ACC?
I don't know. I got.
It's a toss-up of three.
In Miami?
Yep. Vatek and Syracuse.
You don't believe in Vatek? You think Fluentes is going to get it done?
Yeah. I think they were a real disappointment last year, 6-7 last year. It probably should still be Miami.
Are we buying too much into the Manny Diaz hoopla about Miami, or is Miami ready? Because I'm not buying Tate Martell.
I agree with you.
I'm not buying that guy.
And tell me he's ready to lead a big-time program with pressure and expectation.
I'm not buying him. I'm not buying Tate Martell.
Syracuse is going to start a new quarterback. They're actually pretty good. They actually got a pretty good group.
But you lose a guy, Dungy.
Absolutely. I mean. But they got a great coach.
Yes.
They love this kid they're bringing in quarterback. I'm not telling you they're 10-3 good, but they can still be pretty good in that conference.
Outside of that, I mean.
Let me tell you who the real second best team in the conference is.
Who's that?
It's Notre Dame.
Well, I mean, they're playing with 17 of them. So.
Yeah, right.
You see, I like Virginia Tech. I just don't see – I know they were so bad last year on defense, giving up 31 points per game. They allowed 6 yards a play.
When have you ever seen Virginia Tech do that?
Well, here's the thing.
We talk about identity. They can't play defense or run the football.
Virginia Tech was built
on
that.
That's
and
how Frank Beamer
teams,
made
yes.
it. Yeah, that's how Frank Beamer made them.
Well, they were beat up last year too, and I just feel like when you go through a year where you have a rash of injuries like that, the law of averages factors in, and you're not going to be as injured this year as what you went through last year. I think that will help. They bring just about everybody back on the defensive side of the ball, and here's the other thing I like about them. 83% of their passing yards are back, 66% of their rushing yards, 70% of their receiving yards, 88% of their tackles from last year. There's no other team in the Coastal that can boast better than 60% in those four categories.
To run that system, though, they have got to get drastically better quarterback
play.
Yes. You have to be a lot better quarterback to run that kind of system that he wants to run. They were not good at quarterback at
but,
all
I mean,
last year.
You look at the last 2 years, they've lost. They lost one quarterback because – we don't know who the hell was in his ear telling him to go to the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the news. I mean, they have not had a consistent player there. They haven't had a consistent guy. We always talk about go get your guy. Don't be going out and get grad transfer. Go get you a guy. Go recruit you a guy. Go sign you a guy that you can run your system and you can groom him.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here for G-Day, we're in Athens at Grindhouse Killer Burgers as we talk a little bit about the Atlantic Coast Conference. So how many wins does Jeff Collins need to have in year number one to constitute success?
I think if he gets to a bowl game, I think if he can find a way to a bowl game, that would be a success. Such a drastic culture change.
I mean, it's drastic.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, it may be worth going to their spring game just to look at how they're going to start looking, I mean, because it is going to be such a culture shift. But I got news for you. Virginia, I think they overachieved. I don't know what Miami is. You know, Duke probably overachieved. They're losing a first-round quarterback. Carolina's god-awful.
Yes.
Pitt somehow went 6-2. You know, in the conference.
And I just looked at this. They play Temple. I think that, is this they play Temple this year.
Oh, yeah, Texas.
So, they can sneak some wins in there.
Yeah, they can find six wins and get to a bowl. They found a way last year. I mean, they found a way to go 7-6 when it was all said and done last year.
But, I mean, to the words you started out with to start that whole – you're going from the – extreme.
Yeah.
I'm talking about going all the way different.
Yeah.
I mean,
I heard somebody put it this way. Imagine trying to install the run and shoot at Navy.
That's exactly what it looks like.
You know,
and I'm not saying that Coach Collins is going to come out and they're going to be a spread team and all that, but you're talking about a straight triple option for all those years. Those little bitty linemen that all they want to do is cut block. Now they got to stay up.
Think about it like this.
You want to wait for the B-back and the A-back and all that.
Remember when Michigan used to be a power running team, then Rich Rod came in
and tried to do that right there?
And he was going to play tight ends and quarterback? It's that kind of culture shift that it's going to take
you a while. The Taquan Marshalls are gone at quarterback, man. I mean, they're not doing that anymore. So, I mean, it's going to be different.
8 out of their top 13 tacklers from last year are gone. Can that defense carry them early, keep them in some games, give them some opportunities?
They haven't been good defensively in 5 years. Why would I trust them now?
No, I don't. I think that's the –
talk about teams that can't find a pass rusher. They hadn't found a kid to replace Itachi with pass rusher. They had nobody can sack quarterback.
Next to last in both sacks and tackles for loss in the ACC last year. I think you talk about a guy that's going to be under the microscope. I think it's Andrew Thacker, the defensive coordinator there, to cook something up early because, again, I think you need that defense to play markedly better early in the year to give you a chance.
Well, it's always tradition that they say the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense. So you have a point right there because, you know, it's a very skilled thing to be able to go out there and tackle people. But, I mean, defensively, at the beginning, you can just line them up and let them play. Before you put all that other stuff in offensively, you got to put in a completely different system with a lot of those players who've been – because of the numbers wise, you got to play some of those linemen that played last year in that Veer type style offense until you get the right kind of guys you're looking for.
And think about it like this, Randy. I know that they get bogged down offensively, but one thing about Georgia Tech is if you're running the football and you're eating clock, your defense gets a chance to rest.
Yes.
Now you've got a defense. Now you got a different offensive system where you start getting some three and outs. Man, you're going to be having your defense on the field a lot more traditionally than when you've been running the football, Randy, and eating clock and getting first downs. You don't have that kind of luxury on offense now. Your defense better be ready to make. They better be ready to take a lot of snaps on the field this year.
Great point.
Let's move on to Miami now, where Manny Diaz takes over in his first year as the head coach. We've already kind of mentioned this a little bit. I don't think any of us are all that sold on Tate Martell. He will be eligible. I think that news came out this week.
He's going to play.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah, he's playing.
He'll be able to play.
That's not going to be eligible anymore.
Huh?
No. There's nobody that's not going to be eligible anymore.
Well, I mean, they need to let my guy, what's the kid that was here, Luke Ford? Then let him play then, please.
Yes.
All right, let that kid, he wanted to go back home and to be near his family. Let him go. Let him play.
With a sick relative, Randy, he had legitimate reasons
let him play.
For wanting to get back home.
Well, that's why he won't.
Let that kid go back and play. But, like I said, you look at – the vibe down in Miami, Manny Diaz, he's bringing the U back to where it was with the swagger and all that. Well, didn't they have it a couple years ago with the turnover chain? Yeah. And then they got blitzkrieged by Wisconsin.
And Pitt.
And then it just went all the way down here.
And Clemson.
Now he's pulling up in the yachts and everything to show the Miami's back and they fancy and all that. Man,
you
get down
sure
here,
their
man.
Quarterback down there has got the Valentine?
No, his heart pumps Kool-Aid.
Okay.
He ain't no Miami quarterback because he's soft, all right? Yes, I said it. Tate Martell's soft.
He ain't gonna
fit down there in Miami. All right, now it's still Miami though, and they still got some guys.
Oh, they do.
They still got some guys.
Yeah, they got some defensive.
They still
players.
Got some
Don't
defensive
worry.
Players.
Oh, that linebacking.
That
core.
Linebacker, yeah, which great. I'm surprised that's they came back.
Yeah.
I thought they all be
here.
Gone.
Same here. They got a great defensive end too, and John Garvin, who's coming off a big year. That's where the star power is for them. Amazed though, they haven't been able to find, keep, develop, however you want to describe it. They hadn't been able to get a quarterback.
And that's been the thing. I mean, Miami, when they were – their days of winning, they had hellacious defensive players, but they had that guy quarterback.
Yeah.
And they had that guy quarterback that could settle everything down. They had playmakers all around him, but it was all about that QB position because he settled everything down. He wasn't a superstar, spectacular, or anything, but he did what they – he fit into what they did for them to win championships.
August 24th.
That sucks.
An early kickoff to start the season against Florida.
Well, I mean, we got a while before we can make a prediction on that one because I'm still mad that they moved that game, man. So mad.
At least Florida's coach had humped the shark.
That's him on that boat. I will go to my grave believing that.
Their old coach humped the shark.
We'll talk a little more ACC football. We'll also welcome in Hugh Douglas. Hugh Douglas joins us next. It's College Football Game Time. We're at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. We're here till 1. It's College Football Game Time on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. College Football Game Time on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. By the way, they have, if you're headed out today, if you're coming into G-Day, we'd love to see you here. Come have lunch with us here at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. As, by the way, go to the App Store on your phone. Do the search for their app. You can download it. You can place your to-go order as you're on your way in. Have somebody else do it.
Hold on, man. It's about that time for Johnny to crank that grill.
I'm waiting on it, too.
Download the app.
Waiting on them to open up that grill,
that
skillet.
Download the app, Randy. You can place your order. They'll have it ready to go.
Yeah, buddy.
So welcome in, Hugh Douglas. Hugh joins us here on College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome to G-Day.
Hey, man, I'm so excited to be here. I tell you what, I didn't go to a big school, but to be here at G-Day today, I kind of wish I would have went to Georgia. I see Randy Mack all the time wearing his little Georgia gear every day.
I mean, it's convenient.
It's a great time, man. I mean, in spring football, that just means that real football is not that far away.
We start our long walk. The NFL draft. That's kind of a big deal.
And then after that,
we kind of start that long walk through the desert until we get to the SEC media days.
But it's not that when you have your spring balls and everything, it's not that far away. It's right around the corner, and everybody starts to prepare. Like I'm riding up here, and it's a beautiful thing. I was telling my brother, he rode in with me. like to see all the Georgia fans that are riding up here trying to get here because they want to see, even though it's not real football, everybody wants to tune in and see what's going on with Georgia.
I think the biggest attendance game was only 66,000 so far in the SEC.
Bama.
It was Bama. Yeah, yeah, so they're trying to see if they can break that today, have the highest attendance of any spring game.
I don't know. What do you think, Hugh? You got an estimation? Because I'm with you now. There was a whole lot of car flags this morning on the highway.
It was, and it's a beautiful thing, man. I would say that today with the anticipation of, like, because the thing about it is, Georgia's been right there the last two seasons.
Right.
Been right there. And now everybody's feeling that you're going to get over the hump. So I would say, yeah, they're going to break that attendance record today. I would venture to say that that's going to be the case.
What do you want to see today?
Today, you know, this is the thing. And we were talking about this over there being ready a little bit. This is a glorified scrimmage.
Yes.
It really is. And so there is not a whole lot that you can take away from this. The biggest thing that I think I would take away from this is the play of the offensive and the defensive lines. And, you know, you got those two young stud defensive ends coming in for Georgia that's playing right now that you want to go out there. You want to see what they look like because that was one of the biggest problems that Georgia had last year. Didn't get a whole lot of pass rush.
Right.
They got to put some heat on the quarterback this year. If you want to take that next step and beat at Alabama, you got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback because that was one thing you think about Tua Tagovailoa and what he was able to do and Jalen Hurts. You got guys sitting back there in the pocket, man, that's able to find the open receiver. You have to be able to put pressure on the quarterback.
That was my question to you is how important is the D-line pressure, the D-line presence, because they haven't had it in so long, but not outside of Georgia. I'm talking about in the country, Hugh. How important is that to get where you want to get?
Man, it's huge, man, especially when, you know, we were talking to some people yesterday on our show, me and John Freaking, and everybody was talking about Desmond Trufant and how terrible he is, talking about the Atlanta Falcons, and how he is not a cover corner. And I kept telling them, pass rush and coverage goes hand in hand. I can sit back there and cover. If I got some dogs up front that's hunting, you know what I'm talking about,
right,
Randy. When you got four guys up front that gives the quarterback fits that when he lines up, when he's in the huddle and he's looking around, he needs to know where certain guys are lined up because he know that whomever they got out there blocking is not good enough to block the guy. So that's the most important thing you got to have. You get pressure on the quarterback, it makes it easy to call defense on Saturday.
Hey, you're a guy that got after the quarterback a few times.
Yeah, that's
in
all
your
I wanted to do, Chris. Yeah. That's all.
He playing
that's
a
all
run. He ain't playing a run.
Hey, hey, run! What is that?
He told his teammates too.
I remember plenty of time being in the huddle, and Trot with Jeremiah Trotter would say, "Hey, Hugh, this is a run play. Hey, Trot, that's your job." Hey, I'm pinning my ears back, and I'm getting after the quarterback.
When you see these young guys, and we talked about it earlier, Georgia's got four defensive linemen that will be here in August, coming from high school, taking that step into playing in the SEC. What kind of advice do you give guys? Where does it start for them to get yourself ready to be able to play when you're coming out of high school and stepping into this?
I would say the biggest thing is that be prepared for everything because, you know, you are a big fish in a small pond in your high school. It's a little bit bigger pond now, and the fish are a lot bigger. So you have to be able to adjust and adapt. Believe in your ability and listen to everything that coaches tell you. Because a lot of these young guys, I think you come in with a lot of athleticism, a lot of athletic ability, but you have to be able to have technique. You have to be able to start working technique, man. And that's the biggest thing that I had to learn. But I didn't learn it in college. I learned that at the next level. And it was a little bit tough to adjust to that.
Do you think kids are physically and mentally more ready now to come in as freshmen and play from high school football to college with all the hype and hoopla that comes into the recruiting process or less ready?
I think it all depends on what position you play. I really do because you look at, like, on the offensive side of the ball, you're coming in and you're talking about playing like now you're playing pro-style offenses. And you're talking about the adjustments that you have to learn on the fly.
Right.
That's a little bit more of a book studying on the offensive side of the ball because you got to think when you're young and you're in high school, you're probably more athletic than most of the guys you're playing against,
right.
So you don't have to really study as hard.
Feels like we see like more quarterbacks now come in and are able to play right away more than ever before.
Yes.
I don't know how much of that has to do with the high school offenses now and how that translates to the college games. But, Hugh, I still think it's an issue. I don't want a true freshman on the offensive line. I don't even know that I want a redshirt freshman
Not at the offensive line because now you're talking about, again, we're talking about pro-style offenses. And you're talking about reading and reacting and adjusting on the fly. And you're talking about intricate blocking schemes. You're talking about – when you look at most of the offenses that are ran in college nowadays, they're pro-style. And they're trying to get these offensive linemen ready for that next step if they're going to be able to go to the next step. So you have to be able to know how to, what they call it, passing off and combo blocks and working up to the next level. You know, when you're in high school, you're not really doing that. You're like, hey, what, you're a big guy, you're a mauler. Go get this guy and then roll up to the next level and get the next guy. That's kind of how it is. And when you get in college, it's a lot different. It's a lot more book studying, and you have to know what everybody's doing in office when you get to the college level.
Don't you think, too, in the NFL, the difference between physically between 27 and 29 isn't that big of a deal. The difference between 18 and 20 in college is a huge difference.
It's a big difference. Yeah, it is.
Well, that college training table and the weight room makes a huge difference.
And they get all the meals they
want. They get all the meals they want now because they were starving. They were starving after 8 o'clock.
You know, it's funny. All the meals they want. Sweatpants, too.
Me and Randy were talking about that in the break again. And like my son told me last night that he's going to play football. He hasn't had his growth spurt yet. So, you know, as a dad, I'm kind of geek, but now – I have to get, you know what I mean? Now it's like, okay, now how can we get to that next step? And that training table in this offseason for him, when he gets out of school, is going to be huge. Because like I said, he hasn't had a growth spurt yet, so I'm a little bit excited about that.
I'm not going to eat
with him. But you know what? I'm not going to eat with him, but I'm going to try to make sure that he's eating the right things. Like a lot of pasta. There's going to be a lot of pasta in his life this summer. And it's going to be a lot of milkshakes.
Eventually, he's going to grow it in them feet.
I mean, no, he's going to grow. He's wearing 12s now. Yeah, so he's going to grow it.
You're not going to carb because you got the peach tree you got to run, so you're not going to carb up with him, right?
No, I'm not going to carb up. Okay. See, I'm trying to lean out. I'm getting ready for beach summer. I'm getting ready for this Terry Palooza. We got Terry Palooza coming up real soon, so I want to go out there on the beach and get, you know, mosquitoes. Go out there and mosquitoes.
Ain't no women in Hilton Head.
You don't think so? It's some old cats, some old heads up there. Some yummy mummies.
Exactly.
All the snowbirds will be down there.
What the hell is a snowbird?
The people that live up north in the
I ain't never heard about a snowbird.
Savannah's not that far. Savannah's not that far.
A snowbird?
Yeah, you never heard? That's the people that go down for the winter.
I thought you were going to say snow bunnies. I didn't know.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I let him have that.
Snow bunnies are the club right down the road. That's the club down the road. Yeah. that's where that is.
Hey, you guys have had Jeff Collins on. We talked about it with Fricky a little while ago. You guys have had Jeff Collins on the morning show on 92.9 The Game a couple of times since he's been in town. Your impressions on what you've seen from him?
I'm excited about what Georgia Tech football can potentially be in the next few years. This is the thing, man, and I know a lot of Georgia Tech fans are going to get upset. But right now, you know, it's like having a big gun when you don't have any ammunition in the gun just yet. That's kind of how it is, and I feel like it is for Georgia Tech. They don't have the personnel right now to run the offense and the defensive schemes that they want to run, but they're trying to get those guys. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get those players. And I think Coach Collins has made it clear that, you know, for Georgia Tech, a lot of people have said, and this has been the stigma on them, is that because of their academic requirements, you can't get the players.
Miss me with that.
Yeah. He ain't trying to hear that. He ain't trying to hear
it. No, what they need to hear. They need Sunday players. That's the thing that they haven't had is Sunday players.
Yeah, and he's making a conscious effort to go out and get those guys. As a matter of fact, well, Marco Coleman is teaching the defensive line. They're trying to bring back old heads that have played in the program that can help get those guys that can get to the next level.
Jeff Collins, by the way, he'll be on the morning show this Monday at 8:20 with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's Earth Day, ain't it? That's Earth Day.
Hold
That's
going
to be yeah, exciting. Earth we're going Day, to right? the farm.
Y'all going to plant some trees and some peaches.
We're probably going to be on the
Got
air, but we're going to be
and
there.
Some veggies.
Some green beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to be there for Earth Day.
Good for you.
So exciting.
Mm-hmm. Turnips.
Turnips.
Hugh, thanks for hanging
Appreciate
out.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
good
for having me, man.
Appreciate it, homie.
My spiritual advisor.
My man.
So we cool, huh?
It's really working out well for me so far. Here's a one-sided relationship so far.
Wait a minute, what did
I
do?
So we cool now.
I didn't do anything.
Hugh Douglas, you can find him Monday morning, part of the morning show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, let's finish up real quick our conversation that we started talking about the ACC. Quickly, Randy, how many games Willie Taggart need to win to keep a job?
Oh, Willie got to get at least seven, don't he?
Where's he finding seven? In 2 years? Because they're going to win seven in 2 years.
I like the Browns hire to run the offense. They just ain't got no play. Who are they going to play quarterback?
Blackman.
You sure?
Has he bulked up? Speaking of a guy who eats pasta.
Yeah, no
Has
doubt.
Has he put on any weight lately?
No doubt.
I don't know. He needs to eat. He needs to be eating pasta with Hugh, though. I know that,
dude. I you know.
What do you think? I think they got to get to eight.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to waste Cam Akers' career at Florida State. They're wasting Cam Akers' career at Florida State.
A lot of quarterbacks that transferred this year, including a couple of big names like Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma, Justin Fields going to Ohio State, Jacob Eason, you know about him at Washington. We'll break it down. We'll talk about those transfer quarterbacks. We'll do it next. It's College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game. It's College Football Game Time. We are at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. We'll be here until 1 o'clock today. You can find us at 929 The Game, at 929 CFB Game Time, 929thegame.com, and of course, wherever you may go, check out the radio.com app. Also, in the App Store, make sure you do the search for Grindhouse and find the app for Grindhouse Killer Burgers. You can place your order right there, your to-go orders. It'll be ready when you get here. You can pick it up on your way. Come tailgate with us. Have a burger. Have lunch with us here at Grindhouse.
17 minutes before we can eat.
Yeah, man.
The countdown is on.
Yes.
The countdown is
when
on.
When I'm in that eating window, it's
on. Huh?
Yeah. It's like the sun comes out and some guy's dragging a cross down the street earlier. I mean.
a lot of high-profile quarterback transfers this year, guys. Which one of those quarterback transfers has the best shot at making the college football playoff?
I'll be honest with you. And when he went to this school, you were real curious about why he went there. I think Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma.
No question.
I think he's a great fit.
I think you look at the genius that is Lincoln Riley offensively. You look at they're always going to have a great offensive line, no matter who leaves. And they went out and got maybe the best recruiting class of wide receivers in the country.
And you've already got CeeDee Lamb.
You already got guys like that.
Who's pretty dang good. Yes. You got Trey Sermon in the backfield. That's the reason why I like Jalen Hurts over Justin Fields, even though I think Ohio State could be pretty good as well. I just trust a little more about what Jalen Hurts has around him right now than what we see from Justin Fields.
Obviously not a coaching change at Oklahoma the way Ohio State is.
Right.
And we know what Lincoln Riley's done the last 2 years with quarterbacks. I mean, so.
It's been kind of special.
Yeah, I'm not telling you he's going to win the Heisman, but he's going to have a monster year for Oklahoma. Now, can they find any defense?
That's the biggest. Yeah. That's always going to be the issue. And, you know, you look at the Justin Fields thing, I think it's going to work itself out because I think that young man is too talented. And he did have an up and down spring game by the people you ask because, you know.
4 of 13?
Yeah. And, you know, if he doesn't hit the 98 yard touchdown pass in one play, but still, I think he's just got there, still learning the new offense. I think he's going to be fine.
John, he's got to be the guy, right? Matthew Baldwin.
Yeah, just trade the other just quarterback. Put himself in the portal.
Yeah, he just put himself in the portal, so he's out of there. So
who's going to be ranked higher in the preseason? Ohio State or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
I think they're 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Georgia, one. Oklahoma, Ohio State. That's 3, 4, yep. 5.
But, you know, there's a guy that's still there, though. Last name, Dobbins. Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. Let me tell you, don't worry about Ohio State's talent.
Yeah.
Don't worry about their talent. They got they know what they lost, and they lost the Big Ten Player of the Year. They got a lot of talent. Tell me about Michigan. I know Michigan's got a lot coming. I'm still – until you tell me they're going to beat Ohio State, Ohio State's still the class.
What's the biggest – this should be an easy question. Bigger loss, Urban Meyer or Dwayne Haskins?
Haskins.
Oh, I don't know, man. I got to think of that.
I thought it'd be easy. I thought it'd be an easy question. You can say what you want about Urban. You don't got to like him or anything. That man's a hell of a damn coach.
No, yeah. Was he not the second best college football coach in the country?
You lose that guy like that.
But you know, he didn't.
Come on, man.
He didn't go away. You know.
Oh yeah, he's
teaching classes. You know, at Ohio State, he's got stuff he's doing.
He's got a TV gig.
Yeah. He's got, they set up cleared out the broom closet, put a little office in there for him. So, no, he's there. Don't worry. You didn't think Dave was going to coach that team, did you?
Oh, no, I did.
Okay.
The Urban phone somewhere around. Huh?
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like how they've handled their defensive coordinators. You know, Grinch is going to Oklahoma.
Which was a big time hit for them.
Huge pick. Of course, he's a Mount Union guy, Ohio guy. What?
I didn't say anything. He's not from Akron, so I don't care.
No, he's from Alliance, Ohio.
Like, hey, yeah, any place is better than Sandy from Akron.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a big Shiano guy. I'd much rather they kept Grinch and all that, And now Shiano's got all his stuff that he's, you know.
What do you think that was because Urban left and they wanted to just get some of his own guys in there?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, Urban's problem has been he's too loyal to
right.
guys.
Right. You've always said that.
He's too loyal, Chris. He'll be the guy that'll have multiple OCs and DCs because he's just too loyal to guys. He's got his linebackers coach who was his best man in his wedding that shouldn't have been there. He gets too loyal. That's his big knock the last couple of years, especially. He's too loyal to his assistants. I think they wanted to come in, get a fresh start with some guys. But losing Grinch and having him go to Oklahoma, that is a big loss for Ohio State. Just like when they lost the defensive backs coach that went to Tennessee with Vrabel, those are the kinds of guys that – because, look, I'm not telling you Urban doesn't coach. Also, Urban's had a lot of really good assistants
at
that program.
Most top programs
right,
do.
Right. So you get top-flight assistants in there, Chris, that can help coach those guys. That's where they make their hay, and that's where the guys are the toughest to replace.
Jacob Eason going to Washington now. What's your expectations there? You know, when you talk about opportunities to make the playoffs, Washington has just two starters back on defense. I think they're – you know, top 20 good, but I don't know that they're going to be in the college football playoff conversation.
Well, I mean,
I don't buy anybody in the Pac-12 for college football playoff.
Me neither.
But Washington and Oregon are the class of that conference, which ain't saying a whole lot.
Exactly,
because I don't trust that group out at Southern Cal. I know that.
But
did you read that interview with Lone Swan?
Okay, I'm done.
He said that Q&A. I read that Q&A. I don't know what he's doing.
You're talking about a guy in Jacob Eason. We know he's back home. We know the talents there and all that. I trust Washington because they always, I'm saying defensively, because they always replace guys.
They do. They have a good offensive line too.
You know, they got a good offensive line. Can they protect him? He's way better than he's an upgrade with a guy.
Look, they've got a great coach. They have a high level coach too.
Yes.
So you trust that guy too as part of it.
Let's move over to the SEC now. I want to move away from transfers. This is College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live from the Grindhouse in Athens. We're here till 1 o'clock today for G-Day. G-Day kickoff coming up at 2. You can watch it on the SEC Network. We've talked about the ACC and kind of the divide between Clemson and everybody else there. Let's go to the SEC for a second. Georgia in the SEC East. Is Florida ready to challenge now?
No. Well, they're the second best team in the East, but they're not ready to win that division over. If they win the division over Georgia, something really went wrong for Georgia this year.
Fromm got
knocked out in week one and missed the year or something. That kind of level of it went wrong for Georgia.
So first time, Randy, since Tim Tebow was at Florida that there's not a question going into this year about who the quarterback for the Gators is.
Are you sure about that? Have you seen Felipe Franks?
Yep. Are you sure Emory Jones didn't make that step? You sure?
Are
you sure? Because Emory Jones fits with
And Felipe Franks ain't good.
I mean, he's not. I can't. I mean, he
bothers you, doesn't he?
I don't like him.
Is it his Foch or what?
His Foch. Okay. I don't know what Foch means, but okay, I guess that's what I don't like about him.
Okay.
I just don't like him. But, you know, I can't deny he does have talent. I won't knock that part about him, but I just don't like him. But Dan Mullen's a hell of a coach. He should have been the coach there 3 years ago, whatever. But he's getting those guys right, and he's trying to restore that bitterness, that poking the bear type back and forth with him and George and all that.
Was the Peach Bowl important for them?
Yes, it was.
I think it was, too.
Yes, it was.
I think that – and I know everybody said, well, Michigan didn't have Higdon and all these guys playing and everything like that. Florida just went out there and whooped
them. They just kicked them in the teeth.
Yeah, they just went out there, and Florida just whooped them. I think it was a good win for Florida to end the year, Chris, just a good way to go out on a season that was a much-improved season. This is where the Dan Mullen influence will start to get in. Are they ready to beat Georgia? Are they ready to go 11-1? Because let me tell you, they're going to be in the SEC title game. That means Florida had to go like 11-1, 12-0 type of year.
Right.
I don't think they're quite – they're not quite there yet, but they're getting a lot better.
And I think Tennessee is going to improve also.
Yeah.
They're going to – the physicality part of it is there, but they just got to get more talent.
Yeah.
Got to get more talent. Other than
what about Missouri?
No, miss me with that.
Miss me with Missouri.
Yeah,
and Kentucky's taking a step back too.
Yes, they're all the way back. Yeah. They're back to being Kentucky.
Yeah,
let's flip over to the other
South
side.
South Carolina ain't good.
Yeah,
no.
I know Bentley's back, but
Bentley is on that 9-year plan, huh?
He's on that Hunter Renfro plan.
Goodness gracious! Is he still in school?
But you trust that group?
No.
Okay.
Let's go over to the SEC West now. There's Alabama. There's everybody else. Is anybody ready? Texas A&M,
well, I think
LSU.
Randy and I both love A&M. I think if there's a next best team to Bama out there, it's A&M. Even over Auburn and LSU, I think A&M makes that next big step. They ain't ready to go again. You're going to have to be 12-0.
Right.
You better be ready to be 12-0 if you're going to win the SEC West, because Bama ain't going to be worse than 11-1 at the end of the year.
Where's LSU at net?
They're going to be better running the football going into this year than they were last year.
Because remember, we were like, who's going to run the ball?
Right. Well, yeah. They're much better. They got a freshman. They got that freshman coming in. They got Brissett. They're better at running the football. And also, look,
they lost a lot of
defense. You lose those two guys. I know that they reload. Randy, those are generational. Like, over the last decade, Chris, that's two of the first team all-defensive LSU players that we're talking about in a world of all first-round NFL picks.
What about
those guys are that
What good. About the Gus Bus? Now, he said he's going back to call the plays and all that, and he's looking forward to all that. They lose a lot of defensive talent.
Lose Stidham. Other than no quarterback, they can't run the football, and I don't trust their wide receivers. Their offense ought to be fine.
Okay.
See, I think Bo Nix will be the guy.
A lot of people are saying that about Bo Nix.
I think he's going to be the guy. I think he may be the guy who breaks out in the SEC this year, that come November, he's the guy we're talking about.
Okay. What does that mean?
Exactly.
Because they were supposed to be really good at quarterback last year, and there were a few games here and there that they were good at quarterback, and a lot of games they weren't good at quarterback. With a guy who's the five-star, and he's coming in to save the program.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
With eligibility. Like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Yeah.
Nothing for the Mississippi schools? Can Mississippi State
get it together? So much defensively.
They lost. You talk about general. They lost two of the best defensive players the last 10 years.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. They've lost
their last 10 years. They lost two of the best defensive players.
Yeah, I just think A&M, when you look at, and I know they lost Williams at running back, I just think A&M looks like that team and that program with Jimbo, that they're ready to take that next step. And
Ole Miss will be fun.
Yeah,
they'll be fine offensively. Yeah, and of course, they won't be defensively. They still got the Grove, so that's a plus.
Yeah. But the rest of those teams, I mean, Arkansas is no good.
Yeah.
They're not going to be good anytime soon, so no.
No, well, Arkansas is going through that whole – we talked about it earlier, when you come in and you completely change culture, philosophy, everything in a program, a drastic change offensively. That's what Arkansas is still, unfortunately, in the middle of having to deal with.
They got a long way to go.
They got a long
Arkansas got a long
and a tough.
Long
that's a tough climb to try to make.
They got a long way to go.
Yeah, they as much as they need to step up, they need programs to step backward for them.
What about Coach Mason at Vanderbilt? Because you know, last year we were kind of having a discussion. Is he on the hot seat and everything? Right. You know, they lose Kyle. You know, who's been one of the better quarterbacks they've had probably since Jay Cutler, and now where are they as far as?
They're the worst team in the East, aren't they?
Are they?
Who's worse than them?
South Carolina?
He's the only coach in Vandy history.
Better.
You think South Carolina's better than Vandy?
He's the only coach in Vandy history ever to beat Tennessee 3 years in a row.
Well, what does that mean?
So, well, I'm just saying.
I know.
Until they can, you know.
I mean, up there, up in the state, that might be a talking point.
I'm not, but I'm saying, though, I don't think you could put Tennessee ahead of them at this point.
Oh, I think Tennessee's going to be a better team. Oh, I think Jeremy Pruitt showed you. Say what you will about Jeremy Pruitt. Tennessee's not talented, but they at least
play hard.
Yeah, they played their tail off.
We'll come back. We'll have Carl Dukes. We'll come back around. We'll try to talk a little more SEC.
I think we stunned Chris with
before
that.
Before we finish up. Let's go to Carl Dukes. He'll join us next. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
You guys have been to Ohio, and folks want to get out of there as fast as they could. I think that's what happened.
Especially Canton.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I spent 18 months in Cincinnati, and, you know, it's 18 to something like 18 years.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.